Pardon, supermarket.
Well, Yakas has already been explained what's going on there with the breaking of the matzah, taking the smaller piece and setting it aside for achilat matzah. I just want to raise one quick question. It seems simple enough, but if you were to ask me when I would do that, I personally would think the best time to break the matzah would be right before you'd eat it, because you're basically setting aside the piece that you want to eat. As a matter of fact, in Shas, there's a machloket about when to break the bread. If you break it right before you say a motzi, while you say a motzi, or the halacha that we follow, which is rava, after you say a motzi. But either way you cut it, break it, you break the bread or the matzah right as you're about to eat it. So why do we break the bread at Yachatz hours before motzi matzah? We do it much earlier. Matter of fact, in the Rambam, he says that you do Yachatz right before you say a motzi. And then I'd have to sit down and come back in a little while, because it wouldn't be my turn yet. But we don't do that. We do Yachatz up front, right before Magid. So Rav Soloveitchik explained very simply. He said that the reason that we do Yachatz so early is because the entire Seder is to be said on that broken piece of matzah. That broken piece of matzah is lechemoni, and as Rav Royer pointed out, it's a broken piece like a poor person would have. But not only that, the Gemara says that the lechemoni is the lechem she'onim alav dvarim harbe. That it's a piece of bread, a piece of matzah, that you say a lot of things about, you answer a lot of questions about it. As a matter of fact, the whole Seder, keep this in mind, is actually to be said with the matzah as, so to speak, the centerpiece. Because everything that goes on in the Seder is really based on that matzah. Both the oppression and the suffering, right? The fact that they had so little to eat and had so little time to let their matzah rise, and the geula that happened in the end, it's all symbolized by the matzah. As a matter of fact, right before we do magid, what do? We uncover the matzah, and we pick it up, and the first thing we say is halach maya, because the matzah is really where it starts and where it ends, and that's why we do yachatz early. Now that I've mentioned magid, let's take a quick look at magid. Beautiful idea. If you notice, magid starts off a little bit strangely. What do we say in magid? We have this beautiful invitation. Anybody's hungry, come and eat. Anybody who's needy, come and join us for the Pesach. Well, that's beautiful. That's very nice. But, you know, that has nothing specifically to do with Pesach. That's something you could really do anytime. As a matter of fact, in more of Pesachim, Rav Huna is commented on as being the guy who used to get up every time he had a meal. He'd go out and lean out of his window and say, hey, anybody hungry? Come on in. So he did it all the time. So we do it at the very beginning of Magid. So it's a beautiful idea. We should do it. But why at the beginning of Magid? Let's do it at the beginning of the meal. Well, let's do it at the beginning of Seder. Why at the beginning of the meal? Why at the beginning of Magid? So the Rav of Salvation has a beautiful idea. And he says as follows. He says that a slave, by definition, cannot invite guests because he doesn't know anything. So the first thing we do is we get up and invite guests. And that means we're balabati. We own the place. And that's our demonstration of freedom. Have a happy Pesach.
Okay, we're going to move straight right into Magid. We'll sing one song and then Rukawa will take us to Magid, Rasta, and Motzi Matzah. We're going to skip Manashtana.